You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
It's hour two on this Wednesday. Come on, let's get our heads up now. Come on, let's go. Actually, we were fine last night after we didn't win. We just walked outside, poured champagne on each other, and we sat around and had a beer after the show was over. And I think we all kind of just said, okay, you know, we had a great year. We had fun. We got nominated. We just didn't win. And in case you weren't watching either on YouTube.com/The Dan Patrick Show or the actual Emmy show, here is how the announcement sounded last night for Best Studio Show.
There's a lot riding, obviously, in the outcome tonight. So without further ado, here are the nominees in Outstanding Studio Show Daily.
The Dan Patrick Show, Peacock DirecTV.
Oh, it is, you know, I think.
Well, how about you? How much do you have any say in what Seattle does offensively with free agents or draft picks?
I think that it's, you know, I think that ultimately, for me personally, I think that I want to be able to be involved, because at the end of the day, it's your legacy, it's your team's legacy, it's, you know, it's the guys you get to go into the huddle with.
So many great shows, a lot of good friends there. Outstanding Studio Show Daily. And the Emmy goes to SportsCenter, ESPN.
So we're standing there with rain slickers on, and we have goggles on, and we have bottles of champagne. Everybody else has, you know, jacket and tie. They're all buttoned up, and we're there. We look like minions and or a meth lab. And all of a sudden, it was like, and the winner is SportsCenter. And you just went, okay. And then we, you know, we got off of the Sports Emmy broadcast, and then we stayed on YouTube, and then we just walked outside, and I said, let's pop the champagne, guys, and just pour champagne over one another. Although McLovin got a little aggressive. He treated me like he was christening a ship. He was trying to pour champagne on me, and he actually smacked me in the head with a champagne bottle.
Aggressive or uncoordinated?
It could be a combination of both. I'm, you know what? I'll be fair and give you the uncoordinated. You know, I don't know how many moments like that you've ever taken part in pouring champagne on somebody.
Zero.
Okay. And it looked like that for all of us last night. But for all of those of you who tuned in, whether it was on YouTube, chat row, you know, great response from everybody. And I just want to thank you for the support there. Yes,
you. If you go through the... should give a shout out to the people who run the Sports Emmys Twitter feed too.
Oh,
they had a long night.
They had a
the
tough,
language.
Tough night, because this audience thought we deserved a Sports Emmy.
Yeah, it's what's funny is when you go through their Twitter feed, I mean, there's a million awards, right, that are given out, or maybe not a million, but there's a bunch, right? And so you go through and it's like there's like no reaction to most of these tweets about like, hey, look at best, you know, animated short for sports or whatever is like this show. And there's almost no reaction whatsoever. And then you get to this one category where you see it's been retweeted 300 times and there's, you know, 1500 comments.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's the one that we lost.
Yeah. Yeah. The Sports Emmy people say they get no response whatsoever until our category comes up, and then they get more than they want. Yeah. So thank you for having our backs last night. Yeah, Paulie.
I got a nice note from Randy Scott, who's one of the morning SportsCenter hosts, and he retweeted the Sports Emmy post of that SportsCenter won Sports Emmy, and he sent me a note. He goes, your fans are spirited.
Yeah.
He said, congratulations.
Yeah. Yes, McLovin.
I noticed one thing. When Mike Tirico announced SportsCenter, he flipped the card to show it was SportsCenter to verify it was SportsCenter, which to me says he was thinking about going off script. It crossed his mind because... He said, I have a lot of friends up there. I mean, Tirico's our guy. Of course, Tirico must have at least thought. Should I just say, Dan? I mean, of course he wouldn't. He has a lot of integrity,
you know,
but it crossed his mind. I know it did.
It would have been awesome if Tirico, who was the host last night, said, and the winner of the best studio show is not Dan Patrick, and then said, it's SportsCenter. Like, I would have loved that. I would have loved it, because... In the moment, I would have been, wait, we won. No, we did. Wait, what did he say? It's not Dan Patrick. It's SportsCenter. Yeah, see.
It is just the best visual in the world, though. Like, I can't even begin to tell you how hilarious I think it is that you just have all of these people in suits barely even smiling. Like, they're not even, like, nobody's really amused at this. This is all very serious. And then us five idiots in goggles, and it is, God, does that make me laugh.
Seton looks like Jesse Pinkman. Breaking Bad. Yeah. It does. It looks like we're extras in a meth lab with the goggles on and the slicker.
Holding champagne.
Champagne.
And then here's, you know, some random exec.
Yeah. Somebody buttoned up from SportsCenter going, yeah, we have to build another trophy case because this trophy case is full. But congratulations to SportsCenter. You know, they needed something good to happen, and I'm really happy for them. All righty, 877-3DP-SHOW, email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Christian Pulisic, the great USA soccer player, plays for Chelsea in the Premiership. Fernando Tatis Jr. will join us coming up as well. The Joker won the MVP. Jazz beat the Clippers in dramatic fashion there. Clippers had a chance to tie, couldn't get a good shot off. 76ers roughed up the Hawks. Embiid looked marvelous. I'm always cautious when I do this. It's like we try to do this with Luka Doncic, that he's the next Larry Bird, which he's not. But we love to have those historical comparisons. Joel Embiid has the footwork of Hakeem Olajuwon. Now, I'm not saying he's the same player, certainly not defensively. Hakeem is one of my favorite centers of all time. I just thought that he had the ability, if he was 6'3", to make it in the NBA because of his footwork. And Joel Embiid has that footwork. He just, you know, needs to stay healthy. And even now, he's got a torn meniscus. I mean, he's out there playing, and he put up 40 after the previous game put up 39. I don't know if it's going to be enough, but it was last night. The bench helped out the 76ers, and they cooled off Trae Young. That was the most important part. You have the Suns at the Nuggets, game two. Watching last night, got home after we didn't win the Sports Emmy, watched the end of the 76ers and the Hawks, and then started watching the Jazz because I was, you know, just curious, is that Clipper team going to be bringing in that momentum of winning game seven? And the Jazz have had a little bit of a rest. They didn't have Mike Conley. The Jazz missed 20 consecutive first quarter shots. And then they needed all the help from Donovan Mitchell in the second half. It's hard to miss 20 consecutive shots. But they did. And they lived to tell about it. This is the fourth postseason game of at least 40 points by Donovan Mitchell. That ties in with Karl Malone for the most in franchise history. Nothing is cooler in the NBA, though, than an awesome nickname. And we've had so many of those. Dr. J, Air Jordan, the Big O, Wilt the Stilt, Pistol Pete, Greek Freak, the Beard, Throwing the Brow. The nickname that is not helping is Playoff P. Utah fans were chanting that with Paul George last night. He struggled. He gave himself the nickname. First of all, you can't give yourself a nickname. Others have to bestow that upon you. I mean, Ali called himself the greatest, but then that was Muhammad Ali. He was the greatest. Wayne Gretzky didn't call himself the great one, but he could have. You know, Mike could have called himself Air Jordan. Dr. J, they called him... was it Black Jesus? And he said, no, I don't want to be called that. And then it became, you know, you can call me the doctor. They had all these nicknames, and Dr. J in Harlem during a basketball game or after the game said, no, if you're going to call me something, call me doctor. And then that's where it started. But, you know, go back to last year in the bubble, and Paul George struggled in the bubble, talked about the mental stress of the situation wore on him. He played well in the opening round win against the Mavs. And now the Clippers go against a well-rounded Jazz team that, well, the Clippers need Paul George to be Playoff P. And last night, that was not an auspicious start for him. But the Clippers hanging in there. But if I said the Jazz are going to miss their first 20 shots, like, you got to win those games. And once again, you have two of the best defenders in the NBA, and they can't guard. They couldn't guard Luka. They couldn't guard Donovan Mitchell last night. And at some point, I think you got to look at what is our philosophy here. Ty Lue did make an adjustment, though, in the series against the Mavs, because I think he realized, hey, maybe I don't need to be starting these guys. Maybe I start the guys who have been coming off the bench. But having a philosophy here to be able to stop somebody from getting 45 points, and I got Paul George and I got Kawhi Leonard. There's no excuse. You would think that those two collectively could be able to hold him in check, but that wasn't the case last night. We spent a lot of time in the first hour talking about baseball cracking down on a foreign substance that's used by pitchers. And it's not just sunscreen, rosin, maybe even pine tar. It's something more than that. It's a substance called Spider Tack, and it's used by weightlifters. And it's a company out of North Carolina that I'm sure loves the fact that we've mentioned that name a couple of times. I don't know if players individually are ordering this or teams are, because if teams are, that's a little more interesting if I'm the commissioner of Major League Baseball. And what we're told is if you order, you know, a canister of this, it can last you the entire season. One, you know, for a pitcher, it can last you the entire season. And it just gives you, a better hold on the baseball. But you can use it in all different kinds of weather. You can use it when it's cold weather, and you can use it when it's hot. So you're able to use it trying to get a grip on the ball because it's cold, and you can get a grip on the ball when, you know, there's moisture on your hand. This is for weightlifters. They use this. And pitchers have been using this, and now all of a sudden you're getting some hitters who are not afraid to say some things and say, wait a minute, this is going on right now. It used to be a gentleman's agreement between managers. I know your guy's doing it. You know my guy's doing it. And you just, it's an unwritten rule of baseball here. But it got really awkward for Gerrit Cole, the Yankee pitcher. He was asked questions at a press conference, including, has he ever used this substance? And it did not go well for Gerrit Cole last night.
Have you ever used Spider Tack while pitching?
I don't quite know how to answer that, to be honest. I mean, there are customs and practices that have been passed down from older players to younger players, from the last generation of players to this generation of players. And, I think there are some things that are certainly out of bounds in that regard, and I've stood pretty firm in terms of that, in terms of the communication between our peers and whatnot.
You get the gist of what was happening there. He is trying to come up. You know, it reminded me of, was it Miss South Carolina in the Miss America pageant, where she was asked a question and she had no idea how to answer it? That was the feeling I got with Gerrit Cole. Like
everywhere, like such as.
And such as. And the Iraq. And I just went, okay, how do you answer this? And now this is big because it's in New York. And this isn't, there's no vagueness to this question. Have you ever used this? Well, given that batting averages are at an all-time low, home runs, I think, are down. Strikeouts are up. No hitters. We're on a record pace. Baseball is trying to, it's either one or the other. Pitchers are dominating or hitters are dominating. And you got to find some common ground here. Yes, Eden.
We have some more sound of Gerrit Cole
that
just came in.
Okay.
I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so because some people out there in our nation don't have bats, and I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa and the Iraq, everywhere like such as, and I believe that they should...
I don't quite know how to answer that.
They can get together, those two.
Yeah. Plus, Gerrit Cole and Trevor Bauer, former teammates, I think, at UCLA. Trevor Bauer's been called out with this, and these are, I'm waiting for Jacob DeGrom. If he has to answer questions about this, because now it's, open season on this to be able to ask that direct question. Now, maybe you just say, no, I haven't. I've heard about it, but no, I haven't. Yes, Todd.
Or do you get so worried that somehow they're going to trace it back to you and then you're just a big liar like the steroid people that were in denial about it?
Yeah, you just say, oh, I didn't know that was the name of it, but I'd put that on there. But, man, I'm just trying to make sure that I don't get a pitch that gets away and I hit somebody here. Like that's been, and hitters will tell you that they want to make sure that they get a little grip on that baseball, not a vice grip on that baseball. Yes, Paulie?
And you know how it probably is in baseball. Some guy found it, started using it, and then he told his pitching staff. Then the guy gets traded, and he tells his pitching staff. And next thing you know, we don't want to be the pitching staff not using Spider Tech or whatever, Spider Tech. And it just, everyone orders it. It becomes the norm.
And then they start talking about spin rates. You know, that's the thing that they're keeping an eye on. There was a lawsuit that was filed. Gerrit Cole was recently accused of doctoring baseballs in a lawsuit. I don't know what the lawsuit was. Who filed that lawsuit, McLovin?
So it was a equipment manager who was being blamed for all of this. So he preemptively filed a lawsuit against multiple pitchers saying that they're the ones who did it.
Including Max Scherzer.
I believe right? So. We'll double check the details. Yeah, Scherzer was somehow in that lawsuit.
We're losers, and you can celebrate with us. We have a special, danpatrick.com. You can buy the Win or Lose We Celebrate t-shirt and get another t-shirt for a half off, no code necessary. A lot of great Father's Day gifts there for you. If you're searching for something, we got that for you. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DPShow. So Christian Pulisic will join us. We'll talk to him about that dramatic victory over Mexico. I taped an interview with Xander Schauffele, PGA Tour professional, and he played in the first two rounds of the Memorial with John Rahm. And I taped this yesterday, and he had some really interesting things to say about that whole situation. And I'm going to bring you, it's about a three-minute clip. I'll have that for you coming up in about 30 minutes from now. And then Fernando Tatis Jr. will join us as well. We'll take a break, 18 after the hour. This is the Dan Patrick Show. You can hear it in my voice. You can hear that energy. M-Drive, daily supplement that I take. M-Drive Boost and Burn, the supplement that can help you drop those unwanted pounds and give you energy. An energy boost that you'll need for your summer plans. Packed with clinically tested ingredients, M-Drive Boost and Burn helps build lean muscle and burn body fat. You can find M-Drive Boost and Burn at Walgreens, Rite Aid, and Vitamin Shop, or visit mdrivedan.com. Free shipping. You get a 60-day money-back guarantee. Nothing to lose except some LBs. Get lean. Get strong. Look your best. I thought I did. I thought I looked pretty good last night losing the Sports Emmy, but I was ready to take on these younger kids in all of these other categories. It can be tough to keep off the weight as you age. Fight back with M-Drive Boost and Burn. Get ready for everything summer brings. mdrivedan.com. Don't let age beat you. Refine your prime with M-Drive. Available at mdrivedan.com or Walgreens, Rite Aid, and Vitamin Shoppe. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Oh, yeah, that's right. Last 4 years, the music that brings us back from the commercial break has to do with being a loser. Right, Beck? At 96 Rock.
At 96
Rock. At 96 Rock. You're a loser, baby. So why don't you kill me?
Yeah.
Yeah. But this guy's a winner. He's Christian Pulisic, the Chelsea midfielder. USA Soccer had the big win against Mexico. He scored in that win against Mexico, the CONCACAF final. So he's a champion. He's Christian Pulisic, who joins us on the program. Have you come down after that win against Mexico?
Yeah, it's definitely a fun night getting to celebrate with these guys. But yeah, now we're relaxed. One more game to go, so I'm trying to get focused.
How do you prepare for atmosphere like that?
You really don't. I think you just have to experience it. I've played in CONCACAF matches before. I've played in some very tough places, and the fans can be tough. So there's really no getting ready for it. It's just getting those experiences.
But did you worry though, because you're celebrating and they're right there watching you celebrate and they're not happy?
I mean, it's just USA Mexico, especially, it's a big rivalry. We kind of know what's going on, but it made the celebrations and all that honestly that much better.
Is there a Premier League rivalry that's similar to US Mexico?
There's obviously big rivalries. I just don't think you can compare it to the level of, I guess, just the extent of how the fans act and some of the things that you see in the match. I don't think you can compare it in that way, but there are some big rivalries.
And then, you know, you have your penalty kick. So can you put us in that moment of, do you think or try not to think?
Yeah, definitely a mix of both. You definitely have to try to keep a cool head, in that moment, especially with a lot of fans booing, and it's tough. So I stepped up there and just try to be confident, and luckily I put it away.
But do you look at the goalie?
Not in that one. I didn't, honestly. I kind of just said, you know what, I'm going to pick a spot here and I'm going to go for it.
And then what's that feeling like though, when it leaves your foot?
when you take a penalty like that, especially, and you put it real high, it's a bit nerve wracking until you see it go in the net. So, it's a crazy feeling, but once it goes in, it's definitely a relief.
There was so much hype about you, though, Christian, going into the Premier League. Like, do you feel like you can ever live up to everybody's expectations?
Oh, you'll never live up to everyone's expectations. Definitely something I've learned. I just do the absolute best I can, trying to prove that, Americans can do it, especially across in Europe and doing it for the national team now. So I just always give the best I can because it's the game I love, and that's really all I can do.
What was your second best sport growing up?
Second best sport. I would definitely say golf or basketball. Obviously I didn't have the height, so I wasn't going to the NBA, but I could shoot. I had some handles back in the day.
Do you still follow it?
Yeah. On and off. I try to follow it as best I can.
The Champions League, when you're going against Man City, you come off the bench. What are you thinking when you walk onto the pitch?
Really just doing whatever I can to help impact the game and help my team win in any way that we can. In that moment, it was a lot of hard work, a lot of defending. We had the lead at that point. So, yeah, I really just said to myself, go in and try to impact the game, even if it's in the smallest way. And that's really the mindset that I have.
And then I saw the photo with you and your parents. Like, that's a pretty good moment there. How do you describe that?
Extremely special. They've sacrificed so much to help get me where I am. So I'll always be thankful for them. And to share that moment with them, obviously just very proud. And it's definitely a day I'll never forget.
You're covered for Father's Day, just so you know, Christian. And Mother's Day. After you did that, you don't have to get your parents a gift. You don't even have to get them a card, I don't think.
I'll tell my mom that. All right.
The tattoos, when did they start and did mom have a problem with it?
I don't think my mom really did have much of a problem with it. I think my dad already had some tattoos, so tattoos kind of were in the family already. So I was kind of I definitely took it to a whole nother level with the whole arm sleeve thing going. But my mom doesn't seem to, she doesn't love tattoos, but she doesn't hate them on me either, I don't think.
Are you getting a celebratory tattoo after, the Champions League or beating Mexico?
I'm not sure about that. Get a tattoo of the trophy here or something like that.
Ooh. I like that.
I'll have a chat with my artist.
I was also wondering this. You're a fan of LeBron's, but he owns a piece of Liverpool. That's awkward, isn't it, Christian?
I guess that's awkward, yeah. We'll have to have a chat with him about
have you
that.
Have you met LeBron?
No, I never had the chance to meet him. No, but I'll have to have a word with him.
Well, why don't you invite him to a match?
All right. Well, we'll work on that.
Yeah, I think so. How's your English accent? You know, because sometimes, you know, celebrities will live in England and then all of a sudden they come back with a little bit of an accent or some phrases. So how are you doing with that?
My English accent's all right, I think. I can work on it a bit. Give it a little taste there. But I think I can do a good one. I haven't quite, I think I still sound American, I hope at least.
Well, you're from the Midwest, but like you don't want to lose that, do you?
Oh, no, I don't think so.
Well, you're a man of mystery, though, if you have an accent, because I remember Madonna went there. Who else? Gwyneth Paltrow. And then they came back and they had English accents. We're like, wait, come on.
Yeah, I lived in there in the UK, actually, when I was younger for about a year. And I was so young and I was going to school there. I think by the end of the year, some people told me like they picked up on an accent that I had already. So, I don't know. I guess, yeah, you live over there long enough, it just starts to be the usual for you.
How concerned or how excited, confident are you with World Cup?
I think we're very confident. I think we have a really great group of guys. I hope, you know, a lot of Americans could see that the other day. We have a confident bunch of guys that are ready to fight. And going to the region and qualifying, I think we're in a good place. But yeah, we definitely want to be there. We want to compete.
I think you got to, you know, Ethan Horvath, you know, how do you give, like, what do you give him after he basically, you know, saved it, he saved our country.
Yeah. Yeah. You could say that.
Yes.
Literally, quite literally.
Yeah.
It couldn't happen to a better guy, to be honest. The guy, whether he's starting or not, he's the hardest worker. He's constantly ready. And to come into a game in an atmosphere like that, honestly, just shows what he's all about. So to come up in a big moment like that is just massive.
I just want to let you know that Qatar is going to be really warm in 2022. So hydrate, prepare yourself there, Christian. Okay,
that's good advice.
Have you played in that kind of heat before?
I don't know about that kind of heat. I've lived in Florida and played down there, which is warm, but I don't think you can compare. So we'll see.
What's the worst weather you ever played in?
The worst weather? That's tough to say. I think we had a really tough snow game this year, which was brutal. Snow and soccer, don't too well together.
Well, they don't let you dress appropriately for that, right?
No, exactly. You're still in your shorts and your jersey. So,
well, congratulations. Great moment for you. A couple of great moments for you. And certainly with your parents there along for the ride. We appreciate your time and thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Christian Pulisic, Captain America. Seton, is he the greatest U.S. soccer player of all time?
I don't know. I don't think so. He's probably the one with the most like promise, though.
All right. Who is the greatest?
See, I would say that it's Abby Wambach, but
I'm pretty alone
in that.
All right, let me have it as men. Nice try there, Seton.
I'm sorry,
men soccer.
Yeah, he could be. I don't know that he is yet. I mean,
okay.
I don't think he's played on the big enough stage yet, even though he's still, you know, he's doing well in Europe.
If not him, then who?
Could be Landon still.
Yes, Paulie.
I'd say Landon has the resume, World Cup goals, et cetera, et cetera. But Pulisic is ahead of his pace.
Well, he's only 22. And if you've already run, you know, won in the Premier League and then Champions League, now you're going to have the World Cup, that kind of stage.
Yeah.
I think that's really important, though, for that next step. There's so many young players with the United States.
World Cup is huge.
Yes.
Huge.
Yes.
And it's a young team. It's a super young team. I think the average age is 24, maybe. So you're looking at a run of 12 years, maybe, with everybody. That could be pretty sweet.
Maybe we could send you to Qatar.
I'm in.
Yeah. Aren't they playing the matches at night because it's too damn hot there?
And in the fall or winter.
Yeah, it's excruciatingly hot there. All right, update the poll results, McLovin.
So right now we have up, should baseball come down hard on pitchers? And 74% say yes. So at least 26% say no, just let it be.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to ask a question off Pulisic. If you could invest in one of these young American stars, who would it be? And I think, I don't know, maybe you think these are dumb candidates, but Pulisic, Zion Williamson, 20, Patrick Mahomes, 25, Simone Biles, 24, Christian Pulisic, 22. Who's like the biggest future star of that?
Well, Simone has these Olympics coming up, and that's probably it.
I was wondering that. Yeah, she can't do it at 28.
And it's once every 4 years we focus on her. You know, Mahomes would be the answer at 25.
But basketball has a little bit of an extra kick. Like, they get like 200% more than NFL players.
Well, you get the worldwide recognition with basketball than more than you do football. But I need to see what happens with Zion in the next couple of years. Does he get his team into the playoffs? Do they do some damage in the playoffs? Is he a future New York Knick? You know, so I would want to see what happens to him. But, you know, that recognition, it's pretty impressive. Yeah, McClellan.
What if Christian Pulisic in America had World Cup success?
Yeah.
Is there a chance that he could become the next, like, Michael Phelps or something?
I don't know. I don't know if he's that kind of transcendent star. But what he's doing at that stage, and sometimes what happens, this happens to bands, where you're bigger outside of the United States than you are in the United States. You know, Landon Donovan's more famous in Europe, England, than he is in the United States. I go back to the band REM, one of the great bands. But I remember Mike Mills, who is a bass player and wrote a lot of these songs, and he said, we can't get arrested in the United States. But if they go to Europe, the fanfare is crazy there. Like David Hasselhoff, you know, he goes to Europe and he's huge. You know, Jerry Lewis was wow, wow, wow. He was famous in what, France or something like that. And you're like, what do you see? I don't know. This is kind of strange here. I just went from Christian Pulisic to REM to David Hasselhoff. Yes, that's why we don't win a sports Emmy. Yes, Paulie.
It's fascinating.
Thank you.
I always thought that was a fake story about Hasselhoff selling records in Germany.
No, the Hoff.
Golly.
No, he kills it. All right, I got something special for you, and it's a portion of an interview I did yesterday with Xander Schauffele of the PGA Tour. He played with John Rahm the first two rounds at the Memorial, and he sensed something was up with John Rahm with COVID. And I'm only going to play 3 minutes of the interview. The entire interview can be heard on the Dan Patrick Show podcast. And by the way, I got a newsletter exclusive, The Year of Todd, an interview with Fritzy, exclusive today. We were going to use it last night on the watch party, but we ran out of time. And Fritzy sat down to look back on some of his best moments from last year. And from what I'm told, it was funny. So Todd Todd was involved, and it was funny. Yes. But from what I'm told, a toddler looked back, including the infamous onion bagel moment. Never forget. Yes, Todd.
It was a rare moment where I was associated with something that had some type of comedic value, which remains to be seen. We'll see what the viewers and listeners think.
Thank you, Todd. All right, we'll take a break. Back after this to the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bolton the other way. Into the offensive zone right circle. Colton holds. Shoot, score! Colton! Russ Colton! He makes it 2-0 Lightning with 10:56 left.
Good God. with 10:56 left. I mean, not like 56 seconds left. Like, wow. And not even the Eastern Conference Finals.
That's like 0 to 100.
I know.
There. All right.
I know. Paulie's reaction. Paulie jumped back. I'll give the full credit here. That's 970 WFLA Lightning Radio Network. And the Lightning advanced to the Eastern Conference Finals, beating the Hurricanes 4-1. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year. And Discover's accepted at 99% of the places.
99%!
Woohoo! 99% of the places in the United States that take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes.
That's how you move credit cards.
That's how you do it.
2021 Nielsen report. Limitations apply. Wow.
Wow. See, no, it's Jim made me fall on my chair.
Wow. We're a little hungover and a little lack of sleep here today.
It reminded me of the scene where Will Ferrell's Elf, and he's in the department store. He goes, coming up tomorrow morning, Santa's going to be here. Santa! I know him! I know him!
And my thanks to Will Ferrell, who did a video for us last night, Brian Cranston, Reggie Miller, Adam Sandler, Darius Rucker. I feel like I let them all down. Josh Duhamel, Melissa Etheridge. And then all of them followed up last night. Did you win? And then I said, no, we didn't win. And then, you know, they tried to be nice and say, well, you know, it's always next year. And there is. There's always next year. I taped an interview with Xander Schauffele yesterday after the show. And I found out that he was with John Rahm the first two rounds of the Memorial Tournament. He was playing in the same threesome. And I asked him about that reaction. You know, when he heard that John Rahm is dominating, leading by 6 shots, and going into the final day, and then he realized he had tested positive for COVID-19. Here is Xander Schauffele.
I knew. I was privy of this information because I kind of made it my business. He had something happen in the beginning of the week, and we didn't really know sort of what was going on. I was asked to switch times with him for the pro-am. And then, so I kind of probed, and then I asked him, I saw him on the range and I go, why'd you want me to switch times with you? Like, what does anyone have to do at 7 a.m? You know what I mean? And so he told me he's in contact tracing on Wednesday. And so knowing that, you know, my cat and I try to sort of keep our distance, knowing I got COVID in December from my girl, and she got it on a Monday and I got it on a Thursday morning. So I was kind of, you know, just from my own experience, not that I was, you know, expecting him to get it, but, you know, I think maybe, you know, deep down he knew there may have been a chance. So probably the worst, you know, it's so brutal. I think, you know, with this whole COVID thing happening, this is like the worst thing that could probably happen. You know, obviously he knew that he may get it. So he kind of had a little bit of a heads up versus, you know, completely being blindsided. But to, you know, it's hard to win a golf tournament on Saturday, and he kind of did. And so for him to sort of deal with that is really shitty, and it's unfortunate, but you know, they stuck to their rules, and unfortunately that's what it was.
Could they have done something? If I put this to a vote with the players, for John to be able to play on Sunday, if he went out by himself,
sure.
Would do you think the tour would have had a problem with that?
Yes, because Brandon Grace was leading a tournament. I think it was the Barracuda after two rounds, and he had to play really well to qualify for a major championship, and he was leading after two or three rounds, and the same thing, he had to pull out. So for that reason alone, I think the tour would have. Obviously players like, hey man, like you want to go out and shoot 18 under on a course that guys are having a hard time breaking par and you know, win this thing by a million, like my hat's off to you. Like that's what I was trying to do. And so I think if it was a player vote, we'd just be like, yeah, it's just, you know, like let the guy do his thing. Like he clearly deserves it. But the tour had to sort of, you know, watch their own back there.
I felt terrible for him to be told in the manner that he was, Xander.
I thought that's like the most unprofessional thing, in all honesty. That was pretty gross. You know, I think his caddy Adam is really protective over him and he does a really good job. So he was trying to get the cameras out of the way, but to have a camera on him, and that's just, come on guys, like let him go. We have green tarp up by the scoring tent. Like tell him somewhere else. You don't got to make this a freaking televised deal. You know what I mean?
And I felt bad. Jim Nance and Nick Faldo had no idea what was happening. So I'm watching the broadcast. And you see John almost go to his knees. He's emotional.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, no, when someone sees that, they're thinking, you know, worse things potentially. You know what I mean? More tragic things.
Family.
Family related, right. He just had a baby, his newborn. And so, you know, of course, it's going to – them doing this on the 18th hole in public makes it much worse. And I'm sure they're getting some heat for this, as they should.
That's Xander Schauffele, and we're going to put the entire interview up. You can go to danpatrick.com. He had a lot of interesting things to say, including what it's like to be there when you're going to win the Masters, and then all of a sudden it starts to crumble right in front of you. Also, watching Tiger Woods back in 2008 at Torrey Pines at the U.S. Open, and Xander's a young kid, and he remembers that putt on 18. For Tiger that he needed to have. And then U.S. Open is going to be at Torrey Pines. I still haven't heard, is John Rahm going to be able to play in the U.S. Open? Will he be out of COVID protocol, Paul?
Yeah, I saw a couple of things on Golf Channel that he would be able to play, okay. But it's messing with his prep because he can't go out on the golf course with people he would normally go with, trainers, staff, etc. So it is delaying his preparations.
Xander and his dad, who's his swing coach, are working with Highland to select 10 finalists, and one will be selected to receive personalized video instructions from Xander and his dad, breaking down their swing, finding their X factor. And if you're interested in this, you can go to Highland's Share Your Swing Contest. The details are at highland.com/swing contest. But I thought Xander was very forthcoming in the conversation I had with him. He looks a little bit like John Cryer, the actor.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like Pretty in Pink.
Yeah, Ducky.
Ducky. Yeah.
Two and a Half Men.
Yes. Yeah. Like I can see a little John Cryer in there. Yes, McLovin.
Yeah, very much a Two and a Half Men era John Cryer.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
I mean, Ducky had the poofed up hair. I didn't see you as a Pretty in Pink guy. I'm surprised.
Oh, I love those John Hughes movies. Like that's when it started. John Hughes started those kind of movies, those teenage rom-coms. Yeah, Paulie.
I watched Some Kind of Wonderful just the other day. Eric Stoltz, great. Leah Thompson, Craig Scheffler, I think was the bad guy, the good in the high school guy.
Mm.
Good movie. Eric Stoltz, big fan.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, like Some Kind of Wonderful, it's not as good.
All I care about is me, my drums, and you.
Yeah,
that didn't get you.
No,
come on, man.
No, I just felt bad for Eric Stoltz that because he was going to be in Back to the Future, right? And then they replaced him with Michael J. Fox.
They shot some of it, with
yeah,
him, and they pulled him out.
Yeah, and then they said, "No, he's not the right guy."
It takes a lot to do that, I think.
Ouch! Ouch!
You're already filming, and you're like, "Wow, this isn't working at all."
Eric, come on in and bring your playbook. What? Bring your script. Yes, McLovin.
I love in Pretty in Pink that the high school students wore sport jackets to school. I don't know if that happened with you guys. Never happened with us.
I didn't even wear a sport coat last night for the Emmy Award. All right, final hour coming up. Get to your phone calls. And Fernando Tatis Jr. will join us as well. See what he thinks about these pitchers doctoring baseballs. He's got a problem with it. Final hour coming up.